The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It seems more and more high-stakes decisions are ending up in my hands. While some of the challenge, I worry some decisions might not get the attention they deserve. Working with Aon means I've got their whole team in my corner, with advanced analytics and expert insights that put things in the right context. It's the gut check I need to stay on top of it all. Better decisions. Aon.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Monster Legends podcast. I'm your host, where's it? From infoplease.com. Spanish explorer is included. President de reverted to France in 1800 and was sold to the U.S. as part Lewis and Clark, Zebulon Pike, and Stephen H. Long. Explored the region between 1803 and 1819. The first permanent white settlement in Kansas were Fort Leavenworth in 1827. Fort Scott, established to protect travelers along the Santa Fe and Oregon trails. Just before the Civil War, conflict between the pro- and anti-slavery forces earned the region the grand title of Bleeding Kansas. Today, wheat fields, oil well derricks, herds of cattle, and grain storage elevators are chief features of the Kansas landscape. A leading wheat-growing state, Kansas also raises corn, sorghum, oats, barley, soybeans, and potatoes. Kansas stands high in petroleum production and mines zinc, coal, salt, and lead. It is also the nation's leading producer. Wichita, one of the nation's leading aircraft manufacturing centers, ranking first in production of private aircraft, Kansas City is an important transportation, milling, and meatpacking center. Points of interest include the Kansas City History at Topeka, the Eisenhower Boyhood Home, and the Eisenhower Memorial Museum, and Presidential Library at Alabama, John Brown's Cabin at Osawatomie, recreated Front Street in Dodge City, Fort Larned, an important military post on the Santa Fe Trail, Fort Leavenworth, and Fort Riley. Sinkhole, the legendary Kansas Lake Monster, Sinkhole Sam, is one of those cryptid creatures I truly find interesting. The reason being is this: it is possible this 15-long, worm-like creature. Sinkhole Sam is a cryptid creature said to dwell in Lake Inman near the small town of Inman, Kansas. It is described as a worm or serpent-like, being 15 feet long and has the girth of an automobile tire. During the 1920s, many of the lakes and natural water formations of central Kansas were drained, leaving Lake Inman as one of the state's largest natural lakes, measuring quarter of a square mile. This lake has a section that is deeper than the normal that locals call the Big Sinkhole. It's this deep section of water where the first report of Sinkhole Sam occurred. The first sightings was by two unspecified men fishing in the Big Sinkhole. Later, two local men, Albert Newfield and George Rager, said they also sighted the elusive creature. Albert claimed to have shot at Sam from a bridge that was nearby, but wasn't able to determine if he hit him. The following year seen an increase in people coming to the area for a chance to spot the beast. While there were several reports, there were never actually events gathered. Through all the reported sightings, some details varied, but the two characteristics that were common were the length estimated at 15 feet and the girth, which was reported to be around the size of a car tire. Car tires vary, but usually are around. The sightings created national notoriety for the small Kansas town of Inman, and during the town's annual Santa Fe Days, which celebrates history of the Santa Fe Trail through the area, there are always tales being shared of the sightings of Sinkhole Sam. None of the reported encounters with Sam indicated it was a dangerous creature. It's been quite a while since any sightings have been reported, but even today, you will see cars parked around the lake and their drivers looking over the murky waters with hopes of spotting the serpentine cryptid. What could Sinkhole Sam be? What I find interesting about cryptozoological creatures like Sinkhole Sam is there is a high possibility Sam is a real creature of some kind. If they ever have grown to an abnormal size to the size of its habitat or being dislocated by the historical events of the area. There is a legitimate possibility due to the alterations and training of the wetlands of the area that Sam could have been a species that got trapped in Inman Lake side for a great given amount of time, then perished. The creature's normal behavior could count for the lack of sightings in recent years. Chances are, there's no paranormal connection to this creature. It's a legend, it's not a story simply based on overactive imaginations. It could be an actual living animal. Could Sinkhole Sam be a giant earthworm? While most earthworms in the U.S. could easily fit in the palm of your hand, there are several species of earthworm throughout the world that are surprisingly long, like the giant Gippsland earthworm in Australia, whose average length is over 3 feet, has been seen to grow as long as 9 feet. A South African species, whose average length is 6 feet long, but have been found to grow to 22 feet. The Oregon's giant earthworm length can be in excess of 3 feet, while the largest North American earthworm can be over 3 feet. The size of the other worms is quite impressive. Most worms spend the bulk of their time underground, but also can be found in the water occasionally, even though that isn't the choice environment. Could be a giant sea worm. This seems unlikely. While there is solid evidence of these creatures being upwards of 26 feet in length and having the girth of a vehicle tire, there's no evidence of a freshwater species. A giant eel. There are several species of giant freshwater eel throughout the world, and these creatures would be one of the most logical explanations for Sam. An American eel has been caught by fishermen in Kansas that have been close to 3 feet in length. A far cry from 15 feet of Sam, but an unordinary one could fit the description. Could be a giant snake. The other most likely candidate to become an explanation for Sinkhole Sam would be a species of large snake. The giant anaconda's common length reaches 70 feet, but can reach up to 30 feet. 30 feet and they prefer the water. The red-headed python can reach up to 30 feet in the wild. In fact, in Kansas City, there's a 25-foot-long red-headed python named Medusa. At the time of this writing, Medusa is the Guinness record holder for being the largest snake in captivity. These snakes aren't native to Kansas, but who knows, maybe a traveling circus sausage or largest snake in the world star attraction when passing through the area. I'm saying this as a justice, of course, but perhaps Single Sam is a blaze large snake. Maybe something more cryptozoological. Perhaps there was something prehistoric trapped in an underground cavern in the area. Something along the lines of a Titan boa, and a stink snake whose length was around 50 feet long. Considering Kansas has an ample population of prehistoric paddlefish, maybe some other species was pocketed. So over the years, sightings may have been slowed and no solid evidence has been collected. But still to this day, people will drive out small lake that's just a few miles from the small town of Inman and look out over the murky waters trying to get a glimpse of Single Sam. Kansas, 2001, summer, August 17th, Kansas, suburban Canada. Easiest way to get there is from Highway 3 going north out of Crawford County. Highway jogs over on Highway 39 and goes north from there. Goes 3 miles north, there's an old red church building on the north corner. Go about 1¾ miles to the lower water bridge, and about 100 yards past the bridge is where it crossed. It was going south. It was middle of August and about lunchtime. A friend of mine was heading south of Uniontown and decided to go to Fort Scott for lunch. So he caught across on a gravel road. I was reading a bait nickel and we were talking and going along with my friend. My friend suddenly seemed to quit talking in mid-sentence. I looked up and saw something running up probably man-like, all hairy, about 5 feet tall, but it was going so fast it was to trees and gone by the time my eyes had focused. My friend who was driving says, "Did you see that?" I said, "It was about 5 feet tall and reddish hair." He said, "It looked like at me." I said, "What was it?" "You saw it better than me." I just looked up. He wouldn't say, but it was a Bigfoot. It ran very quickly across the road. Otherwise, I would have always thought it might be a prank, but it ran way faster than I could. It was about one block ahead of us when it crossed the road. It was on the east side of a creek, and we were just coming to a low water bridge. It was a very windy day that day as we drove past this place and went into the woods. I looked up, but I saw nothing more. I could see 300 to 400 yards up a grade to a ridge. As it ran across, a small group of birds flew up. I did this 1996 in May. This was on the outer edge of Fort Scott on the Country Club Golf Course. I researched the area thoroughly and found no more evidence of the creature, including it has been gone for a while. I observed a form walking in upright position for a period of about 5 to 6 seconds. The figure was darkest brown in color and appeared to be very large in size. I had just walked it out to bring my food dog in and it started to sprinkle. As I took her off her leash, I looked up across the golf course and saw a form move out edge of the trees and run across a space of about 20 yards until it disappeared into the tree line. When I saw it, the Patterson Gremlin footage came to mind. I was left to believe I saw a Bigfoot. The figure was about 200 or more yards from me, and it was very hard to make out what it was. I never seen this creature again. That's probably due to a new god hall was built a year later or so later, and there was, and still is, a lot of construction going on there. I never thought to look for trash until next week. We had got some rain, and there were trash. 1 mile from Big Burgers, a large coal. It's happened about 25 years ago, but I still remember it forever. I live in South Kansas. My husband and I were driving around looking for a fishing spot. We went down a dirt road to strip pit from strip mining coal. I was ahead of Michael, and we were being very quiet. Michael was behind me. I could hear him walking through the weeds. I came to a small break in the brush with a game trail on it, and I followed it. I walked around 20 feet and came onto a small clearing. I was looking straight ahead at the water, and from behind, higher up in the air, a screeching and screaming sound started. It was so loud that I crouched down and couldn't cover my ears and had my eyes closed. The scream would go away for a few seconds, and it would pause, and I had my eyes closed and suck in some air and scream again. It went on for several seconds. I finally could tell the thing was running away, and I stood up and opened my eyes. When I looked up, the thing had jumped the creek in front of me about 10 feet and was running through the trees and was knocking in small trees aside as he ran away screaming the whole time. I know that it scared it when I stepped out into the clearing. I was looking in that direction, so I didn't see it standing there. It heard Michael's behind me, but I was being very quiet. When I stepped out into the clearing, I scared it. Michael heard it screaming and started yelling for me. Then when I stood up and looked and saw all trees being knocked on the ground as it ran past them, it was the loudest animal I've ever heard. I might have saved my life when I crouched down and covered my ears. The sound was a bit behind me and up in the air around 7 feet. It wasn't a bear or bird or anything else I could think of. It was a Sasquatch. Many people have seen them here. We have a lot of wilderness and strip pits for them to hide and live in. I could have lost my life if I had wanted to hurt me, but I scared it so bad, all I did was scream. There's a backroad after passing Lebo, as I remember, that turns south for half of to 1 mile, then turns back east. There's also a newer backroad, definitely back blacktop. My husband and two sons, I live in Emporia. Through our church, my husband had become involved with a scout program. We're having a weekend camp out an awards ceremony. He called out about 10 p.m. saying he had forgotten awards and asked me to bring them to him. I left around 10:40 and went east out of Emporia on, I think, Highway US 50. Shortly after passing what I believe was called Beto Junction, I turned south and curved around to the east. That's supposed to be the shortest route. The road had no shoulder and was filled with potholes, forcing me to go at a very low rate of speed. No more than 30 miles per hour, and slowing further than 30 at times. I'd gone only a few miles when I saw move it to my right around. Thinking it was a deer, I slowed to almost a crawl, partly due to this road conditions as well. What I saw was not a deer, but something walking quickly in an upright position to the fence. The creature just lifted the right leg. It was facing me and stepped over the barbed wire, took a couple steps, and was in the road. I came to a complete stop, being only 20 feet away from this creature. It stood in the road. Stood in the middle of the road with lights on it. I looked at the car, and I looked at it. opened my door and stood out, keeping the door in front of me, and we looked at one another for what seemed like a full minute. Visually, the creature's form was maybe 7 feet, hair covering the body, not being short like fur, but generally 2 to 3 inches on the most of the body. There was hair covering on the chest area, but much more sparse. It seemed to be uniformly proportionate, with the arms being the only exception that was minor. Another thing that struck me was a feeling of calm, not fear. I distinctly have remembered I should have felt threatened, but there's no feeling of being in any danger. Though the creature began to move and cut into my car as it continued across the road with just a couple of steps, went down into a narrow ditch, and then stepped up over the fence on the north side so easily. It continued for a few steps, stopped and looked at me again, and then strode with long strides towards the trees. I sat there a couple of minutes and did not start counting. This was Kansas in Crawford County, June 5th. In the early summer of 1981, when I was 13, my cousin, his small nephew, and I were exploring some of the wasted slag heaps left over from the strip pit mining days, located around a mile behind my aunt's house. A slag heap's unutilated as they go, rising upward near 25 feet, then dropping back down again like a series of small hills. Great for mountain biking. In between these small hills are small pools of collected water from rainfall, or serves as excellent locales for frogs and tadpoles to live in or other animals to drink from. The hills themselves are composed of clay with broken shale, serving as small spines sticking out from the surface. Not place you want to walk bare through, which I have, only to have my face slide open time and time again. Anyhow, as we were walking through these hills, I came upon a large footprint, which I would estimate to be at least 18 inches long and 7 inches wide. There was only one print, and it had been made in the soft mud of one of the small frog ponds, as if whatever had let it casually walk by stepped 1 foot to softer ground. I did not stop to look around for any others, but I did realize it was barely clear for anyone to be walking around barefoot a mile from nowhere along ground down that would quickly cut your foot. The sheer size of the print led me to immediately, man, bread delivery driver, report to police at St. Mary's Tap, 5 a.m. Monday by rail tracks at the southeast edge of Delilah, that he saw something around 5 foot tall, extremely hairy on the tracks. He stopped his truck and ran off into weeds. He walked in the direction of a gorilla. Later, sheriff and game printer could find out some photo. No sign of it. Later, a farmer said that something had killed 60 of 50-pound hogs by biting them in the neck. Correspondence of St. Louis Democrat, Sunday, August 15, 1869. We of the Arcadia Valley in the southern part of Crawford County are having a new sensation related to some new disclosures in nature history. If I guess it as it should be, it's often less than discovery of a wild man, a gorilla, or what is it? As at different times been seen by almost every inhabitant of the valley, and occasionally has been seen joining counties of Missouri, but it seems to make its home in this vicinity. Several times it has approached the cabin of the settlers, much to the terror of the women and children, especially since the men happened to be absent working in the fields. One instance it approached the house of one of our older citizens, but was driven away with clothes by one of the men. It has so near resemblance to human form that the men are willing to shoot it. It's difficult to give a description of this wild man or animal. It has a stooping gait, very long arms with immense hands or claw. It generally walks on its hind legs, but sometimes on all fours. base or what it is a cowardly, as it is ugly, and his next apostle is to get near enough tame a good view of it. Sellers, not knowing what to call it, have christened it Old Jeff, since its appearance or princesses are often found down lawn stock rearranging our cornfields. I suppose Old Jeff is only following his inclination, as it may be easier for him to put down than to climb over. However, as it is, curses loud and deep are heaped upon its head by the settlers. Settlers are divided in opinion as to whether it belongs to human family or not. Probably to be found to be gorilla or large orangutan that escaped from some menagerie in the settlements east of here. At one time, over 60 of the citizens turned out to hunt it down, but it escaped. But probably owing to the fright that it received, it kept out of sight for several days. And just as the old settlers were gradually themselves, they were rid of the intolerable nuisance, Old Jeff came back again, slimly as savage as ever. This is the size of any showman who has lost one of his collection of beasts. He may know where to find it. At least present is the terror of all women and children in the battle. It cannot be caught. Nobody's willing to shoot it. MS. Year 2000, fall, October. I was taking pictures for my photography class at high school university near the wetlands. I walked over a pile of dead and chopped wood into the woods about 50 feet when I heard something ahead. I looked up and saw something standing there, then immediately take off. Without much of a start, jump about 7 feet in distance over a fallen tree, which is about 5 feet high. It disappeared into the brush and did not make a sound in its retreat. The first moment, I thought it was a worker from the nearby factory wearing a big coat. Then I quickly realized what it was. It had a full body of dark, blonde, light brown hair, about 6 foot 6 or taller, and had a slight slouch to itself. It was also very fast, very elusive, and seemed to disappear in a glimmer when it took off. I could not hear it beyond the brush where it took off to, so I thought it was still close by. So as I scared as I was with the camera in my hand, I had to follow. But when I got into the brush, there was nothing. I'd hear anything nearby, no bushes moving, no twigs crackling, nothing. So I felt as if I was being watched, as if something was still there, close by. I just took a deep breath and took off to my car and went home. It was the coolest yet scariest. I know this may sound ridiculous, but I saw something in Kansas. This happened several years ago, but I remember it very well. While still living at home, my parents and I went camping nearly every summer weekend at Milford Lake in north central Kansas. A road motocross then, and there's an area of the lake specially set aside for off-road vehicle recreation. It was near the School Creek Recreation Area on the southwest side of the lake. Also had some of the best fishing in the area, so it kept my father satisfied. It was during July or August of 1980 when a good friend, Kenny, and I were riding our motorcycles on a public dirt road that paralleled to the shore of the lake. The road was outside of the off-road area, and neither of us had driver's license at the time. Boys will be boys, and it wasn't unusual for us to venture out into the public roads. We weren't really riding very fast. It was kind of tooling along. The lake was on the left side of the road, the shore, about 100 yards away. There was a fairly dense brush for the shore of the lake, all the way up to the road. On the right side of the road was a hay field with a large round bales of hay still in the area. Kenny and I were driving by side by side when we dropped to the crest of a large hill, and both of us stopped, dead in our tracks, at the bottom of the hill. Next to a large tree was someone, or something, just standing there looking up at us. We were about 75 yards away, and it was between us and the setting sun. Both of us turned and looked at each other wide-eyed. We exchanged a what the hell is that? And when we turned back around, it was gone. I don't know if it went back to trees or into field with large hay bales. I really got the major chills that ran down your spine when we were both a little scared, to say the least. We hesitated for a few moments, then rode like hell down to the bottom of the hill and back towards our camp. I would have the sense to stop and look for tracks or something, but we were just too damn scared. We jumped off our bikes and we went back to our camp and told everyone who would listen. Of course, we were merely justified for the crazy story we had dreamt up. No one believes us and thought it was just kids trying to stir up a little excitement. Even at a younger age, I wasn't prone to wild stories, so my parents were a little perplexed at my strange behavior. Later that night, Kenny and I spoke before we went to bed about what we saw. We both agreed that if we had been by ourselves, we had dismissed it as our imaginations. We also agreed on the appearance of what we saw. It had a very large, broad body, no neck, large head, larger than a human head for the size of the body. It was very dark in appearance. Needless to say, neither of us got much sleep that night. About 2 weeks later, we both got up, nerved to go back at the same spot. We looked around for footprints, but it had rained. If there were any before, they had been washed away. Then we decided to see if we could estimate the size of the creature by having one of us go to the bottom of the hill and stand by a tree, and others stay up at the top. I got the honor of being the one to go down the hill first. And needless to say, I was a little nervous. When it was my turn at the top of the hill, I was stunned. I distinctly remember the top of the creature head being in the about even to the lower branch in the tree. When Kenny stood by the branch, it was full 2.5 feet above his head. Kenny was about size 7 at the time, so estimating we saw was a little over 7 feet tall. I was convinced it could not have been a human. We left and went back to camp. Neither of us spoke to anyone else about it. Both of us were convinced we had seen a Bigfoot. I saw Kenny about 4 years ago. We talked about old times, and eventually the conversation turned into a counter with our BEC. Let me know what we saw was really a Bigfoot, but we still both agreed it was something we could never forget. October 2000, it was about 2 months ago. I was going home from taking my sister home after we got out of work, roughly 1:30 a.m. I was on the phone with my sister as we lived just 5 miles apart. My mind, so I don't have to drive alone.
We all know real life can suck sometimes, and your boss accidentally seeing you in your underpants on Zoom last week doesn't help any.
That's why reluctantly codependent sisters, the Shira and Rashalia, keep you enthralled and in stitches every week with their podcast, Legendary Africa.
Every Monday and Friday, we take you on a journey of mythical lands, magical objects, and monstrous creatures, both ancient and modern.
Find Legendary Africa on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever you feed your ears. And remember, stay safe,
stay sexy,
and stay legendary.
About 3/4 of the way home, something came off the side of the road. So fast, I had no time to brake. I told my sister that I thought I had hit a person. She asked if it was a deer. I said no, it was upright and well over 6 feet tall. She said, go back and look. So I turned around and went back. There was nothing there. A few days later, went to the local cafe breakfast, and I was talking with a native lady. I asked her what kind of creature was on the reservation. She turned pale white and asked, Who told you? At this point, discovering goosebumps, Axe said yes. Not only I had hit it, she was about in tears. She told me stories of others being chased and her brother-in-law seeing it and was so scared he'll not return to the reservation. I've asked around since then to other members, and it's always the same thing. Many people are afraid of it. They say it comes to you when it wants to tell you something, and only the chosen ones will see it. I'm not sure what I seen that night, but it was very large. My husband was over 6 feet and 350 pounds. It was definitely larger than him. But the classic stories of being super hairy is not much what I seen. The creature I seen was tall and hairy, but not long hair, as I always assumed it was. The color was more brown than black. Never seen its face, so I'm not sure of facial looks, but a large head, very long arms, and very fast. I hit it with my car, and it broke my bumper, but didn't seem to slow it at all. I wanted fame or any TV time. I really don't know what my name mentioned. We do live in a small community, but I'll love for you guys. And I just see the Pawnee Indian Reservation, northwest of Topeka, Kansas. A man saw. I teach botany ecology at a local college. My wife and I were out hiking on the Skyline Trail, see if any earlier wildflowers were out yet. Decided to take the Mad Mile extension since it runs parallel to the lake and is visually quite nice as well as exhausting. I was taking photos of mosses, so I was paying attention to the ground quite a bit. My wife walked ahead a bit and was kneeling down to take some more moss photos when I saw this print. I was very excited as I started reading again about Bigfoot, so I took a couple of photos attached to the document. The first photo is just an overhead pic. The second photo has my size 12 shoe lined up at the base, so how long the footprint was. This is the only footprint noted with a good reason. Leaf litter on the trails was extensive. I did see raccoon tracks, and my wife saw a turkey trot away. Later, we saw cottontail scurry off. So, maybe not a thought that points out. Most everyone has heard of Sasquatch. Now, people realize, though, a much of more terrifying cryptid is stalking the forests of North America and beyond. Of course, I'm talking about Dogman. What is Dogman? Canids. What type of Dogman is described looking like an upright canine? Other type of Dogman, which is commonly referred to as being a type 3, is described looking like a Sasquatch with a muzzle instead of having a flat face. Witnesses have encountered with type 3s also report seeing claws on the tips of fingers and toes instead of fingernails and toenails, the way a Sasquatch would have. Eyewitnesses would have had dog encounters also report that when they saw. How long have Dogmen been around? No one knows how long Dogmen have been around. Due to their hieroglyphs, the Egyptians, the gods of the underworld, and Anubis, which found it's possible the encounters with these beings were happening thousands of years ago. People might have been seeing Dogman back then due to their ability to figure out the origin. The first documented Dogman encounter happened in 1887 in Westford County, Michigan. Two lumber jacks report seeing a creature that described as having a man's body but a dog's head. Dogman encounters most certainly happened well before that. What do Dogman look like? Canine-type dogman. Canine-type dogman are characterized by the fact they have canine-style legs instead of hominid-style legs, like a human or Sasquatch would have. Instead of ankles, they have hocks. Instead of knees, they have stippled joints. The picture above shows what a canine dogman can look like. Not all canine dog types look the same, though. Some canine dog-type dogman have disproportionately large heads. Others are more hyena-like in appearance. Some are described as looking like the black werewolf in the movie Van Helsing. Other eyewitnesses saw a dog man that looked like a large timber rust that was ambulating by Beedoo Hilly. About 95% dog man eyewitnesses who contact me describe seeing dog man a bit carry canine type dog man. For whatever reason, canine type dog man seem to be more prone to aggression than can type 3 dog man. That's not to say that are docile, but nature. Because they're not. It's obviously they're members of the canine day family. Learn that no one knows what their origins are or how. The picture above shows what type 3 can look like. Just like a type 3 domain, all type 3 domain looks the same way. Type 3 domain are characterized by their hominid style legs. They have knees and ankles just like humans and Sasquatch. Sasquatch. While this type of cryptid is referred to as being a dogman by many people, it's clear that these cryptids are canids. There's something else. What are they? I don't know. But if there were members of the canine family, they have hocks, stilt joints, and other chemical features specific to canids. While many people claim they have must be some kind of Sasquatch, similar to anatomical features, they can't be apes like Sasquatch. Apes like Sasquatch have fingernails and toenails. That three demi have claws on their fingertips and toes. Apes don't have sharp point canine teeth. Type 3 demi do have. It's also okay. Where can dogman be found? It would be easy to think they rob possibly of having a dogman encounter if they don't live in a rural area. That's not true, though, because there are plenty of credible reports from eyewitnesses report seeing dogmen within city limits of major metropolitan areas. Dogman encounters have been reported inside the city's limits of Cincinnati, Dallas, Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, and several other large cities. More than one eyewitness claimed to have encountered dogmen in Central Park, even. A dogman researcher named M.K. Larson has created a map. Dogmen recorded making a variety of sounds. Most of the recording I've heard them vocalizing was recorded in New York State by a dogman researcher named Dave. It was dogman howl. They recorded it late one night. Are dogmen dangerous? Almost every eyewitness encountered a dogman says thought the dogman was going to kill them and eat them. To date, though, almost every encounter has resulted in eyewitness walking away unharmed. Attacks seem to be very few and far between. I don't know if some attacks have occurred, though. Consequently, extreme caution should be exercised if you ever do have a dogman encounter. The one you encounter is just do dogman attack people. I've spoken with credible eyewitnesses who said they were attacked by dogmen. There's an extremely small percentage of eyewitnesses have shared their encounters with me. Less than 1% of the eyewitnesses have shared their encounter with me claimed they have been attacked by the dogmen they encountered. When you consider how long your chances of even seeing dogmen are, it goes without saying that your chances of being attacked by the dogmen only come out at night. For some reason, the idea persists amongst some eyewitnesses and other people that may only come out at night. That's not true. Most of my encounters happen during the day than at night. What does that tell you? If you know of an area where a dogman has been seen, venturing into the area during the daytime hours more definitely would not preclude the chance of you having an encounter with one. Please keep that in mind before venturing to an area where dogman or dogmen, good dogman evidence. If you're investing an appreciable amount of time researching dogman, but haven't seen any convincing evidence that supports their existence, it would be easy to think of no good evidence exists. I can tell you, though, it does. Because of what I do, I always just share all sorts of great evidence that collected with them. The fact you haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not out there. Most of my evidence possesses the kind of evidence that don't want it released to the public. Amazing videos, pictures, and vocals of dogmen have all been shared with me. The precious dogmen evidence most definitely does exist. Are dogmen only found in North America? For some reason, some people believe dogmen can only be found in North America. That's not true. Dogmen encounters have been reported in lots of places other than North America. It might be hard to believe, but dogmen encounters come to County, Kansas County. If you know anything about Kansas, you know it's dry, flat, and void of much forestry. As a kid, I lived on a farm in the middle of nowhere. I remember that we had our own play set outside, complete with swings and monkey bars. Nearby was a large patch of growing weeds, almost as tall as 6 feet in some places. I hated playing at the place hit because sometimes around sunset, I see red eyes from within the red weed patch. I told my grandparents, but they dismissed it as a coyote. As coyotes. However, one day, I wanted answers and I approached the weeds. Upon closer inspection, I saw a creature that looked similar to a dog with a shaggy white fur. I remember that I thought its front paws looked like that of a gorilla. The creature moved away from me and never saw it in the weed patch again. A year later, I saw the same figure looking in the dark outside the house. I was so paranoid, my mother could not see me, get me to leave the house for a long time, except for going to school. I've seen this humanoid since, nor am I complete. Since it was summer break from my school, I was lazily lounging at home, watching TV. I got bored, so I went outside to see if I could do anything with my chicken, like feed them worms and snails before I go into more detail to explain the area I live in. My home is on the outskirts of the city I live in. I had about 5 or 7 chickens at the time. We had expanded the coop, so it was a small pen and connecting two sides of a chicken coop, which is wooden and sturdy. The only way to get into the coop is either through the trap door attached to the big door and three windows. One window is on one side of the door, the second window on the left side. The third one is a large window. Keep in mind, they all have traps connected to them so they can be closed. If you have 7 acres of woodland that we call the pasture, if you've ever been back there, you can see that it's probably habitat for the local deer. There's also a wild boar that was roaming around at the time. I don't know how it got there, but we had trouble with poachers for a while, considering the population of deer in the woods. One butcher had set up a trail cam that was mostly activated. There was an old rusty deer standing and been on a tree. Put on a tree a long time ago. A tree had begun to grow around it because beyond our river woods, it's a large cornfield owned by our neighbor, and beyond that is a forest. I don't know what the forest is like beyond the field since we've never been there. I went outside to do something with my chickens, and I brought along a bucket of corn feeding the deer after. When I walked out of my home, I saw a doe sitting in the tall grass. I thought it was sleeping since it had sat down and wasn't moving. I, being the curious little nut I was, decided that I would sneak up on the deer and get a picture of it to show it to my mother when we got home from work. When she got home, I crept as silently as I could across the yard to separate me from deer. I should also mention that we have a clearing with a burn pit in the middle in it that was filled with cedar branches. I was creeping across my yard towards the deer when I had cleared the burn pit. It was about 10 yards from it. I realized that the deer wasn't asleep, but it was dead. It was the most disgusting sight I've ever seen. Its senses were completely gone. The flesh of the body of the doe shredded to pieces and blood absolutely everywhere. It looked as if it had been sitting there for a while and smelled like it too. Most of the blood was dried and air reeked. There were insects alive before it was deader than the deer. Not even neighbor's cattle. Left the bucket at the beginning of the trail. What I caught later was my mother and grained the deer when she got home. Then I started to walk back to my house. I'd barely taken a few steps when I heard a low, snarling growl that sounded like a wolf, although it seemed distorted as it being played on old radio. Sorry, it's the only way I think of describing it. Against my better judgment, I turned my head around and saw what looked like the biggest freaking wolf I've ever seen. It was all fours. Its fur was black and matted in places. Its face was what you expect a wolf to look like. Although it was broad and the muzzle seemed like a little short, the way it was curling its lips made it look like its snout was pretty long. Its eyes were yellow, not a bright yellow, like yellow of a flower or sun, but dim amber red yellow. That makes sense. Its ears looked like that of a Doberman pincher with a crop effect. Its front legs were long and looked like it's a bodybuilder. Its paws, if you could call them paws, looked like huge hands with long claws at the end of them. It stood up, and I heard the most sickening popping sound you could ever imagine. It sounded like the sound of popping joints, but it seemed amplified as if it were being played through a microphone, and the sound was coming out of the loudspeaker. Its body looked like a bodybuilder, pumped up on steroids. It was so big. It had no tail that I could tell, and it seemed to tower over me. So I was a good 10 meters from him. I was about 5'4" at the time, and I came nowhere close to his height. It was so tall that the tip of his ears could almost touch the top of a young cedar. It let out a loud howl, which sounded more like a roar, and charged at me. Doing the only thing I knew to do while high fear and adrenaline, I began to run away from it. I remember clearing my yard in what seemed like hours, but it was most likely only a few seconds, and running inside, slamming and locking all doors and windows. I calmed down a bit, small bit. I realized that if it really wanted to kill me, it would have. That's why I had experience with not attack charge, but a bluff. I was lucky to get away from with my life. Although this happened almost 2 years ago, it still terrorizes me to think about it. The deer was gone the next day. Ever since that evening, I have been worried about around the woods. Only going in them in broad daylight. Only when I absolutely had to. Never without what weapon. So I cannot say that I'm one of the people that have stopped experiencing things after the encounter. Although I only had nightmares for a month after that day in June, nothing really started to happen again until about 2 months ago. I was staying up at night playing on the laptop. I had started to hear the things moving around on the porch and looked out the light to see the shape of something huge disappearing beyond the corner of my house. There's also one of the rare times when I was going to get the mower, walking the trail to do so, when I heard about beautiful footsteps following me off to my side. They stopped whenever I stopped and eventually ran out of the woods. I haven't been back since. I asked my late great-grandfather about the creature I had seen in the woods, and she informed great-grandmother about the creature I had seen in the woods, and she informed me there was nothing called the wolf-headed man that talked. Later, I was informed by my history teacher that my house had actually been built on a tribal burial ground. I have been since been wondering if that has something to do with it. Haven't heard about the wolf-head man before. She also told me about it. When I saw that there were several eyewitness reports that proved to be truthful, it made me feel a lot better about coming out with this information. I attempted to tell people previous to submission, but everyone either said I was stupid, crazy, or just a plain liar. One thing's for certain, I know I'm stupid, I'm not crazy, I'm most definitely not a liar. I know what I saw. Before I say anything about my encounter, I just want to clarify that what I saw, when I saw this thing, I went to Google and searched up what it was. The Colonel's website found another person in the county had encountered something like this, so I know I'm not crazy. I've been studying wolves and their behaviors for about 3 years before I had this encounter. I noticed certain Jackson County is about 656 square miles with a population of 64,158. It has been practically infested with wildlife since deer, livestock, and predators such as coyotes and foxes. It wouldn't be lucky for a large predator such as a wolf to be lurking in the sparse woodland. The average wolf territory would be easy for such a huge creature to live in just in Jackson County alone. This may be even the very same dog wolf man thing the other person saw. Anyway, I was chilling on the laptop in the living room, watching people blow stuff up, when I felt like I had to go to the bathroom. I sat the laptop down and put my headphones on the keyboard and got out of the chair. Let me clarify it. I'm not a bloody psychic or medium or anything, but I have a sort of sixth sense when I can tell if something's watching me. I know something was. I have a huge window on the wall just above the couch. It was particularly cold at night, so the window caught things like breath fairly well. I turned the window, thinking that whatever it was watching me from there. I knew I'd seen it if it was. You have a motion sensing for lights, and that had to be either standing on something or tall, a devil's self, or see into the windows of our trailer. It was about 6 to 8 feet off the ground, top of it being about 11 feet. I looked over to the window, and the only thing that I could see was the lights were on, and something seemed to duck under the windows, like a kid playing hide and seek. I didn't think of anything of it, since our neighbors were sort of druggies, alcoholics, and often came to look in our windows, and in every opening to the house was locked, so I had nothing to worry about. I went to the bathroom. When I finished, washed my hands, I went back to the laptop. I noticed that the lights went out, so whatever it was, gone. Not thinking anything else of it, I went back to watching people blow stuff up. I should mention also that my eyes are sharp enough to spot a bird about 50 feet away in a tree, so it's not a surprise that when the lights came back on, I noticed immediately. I glanced up from the screen, expecting a drunken or high idiot to be looking in with a stupid expression on his face, but I was frozen by what I saw. It was a huge, huge wolf. It looked at me with dirty, amber yellow eyes. Ears looked like they were torn or cropped or something. The face looked sort of human-like, not really full human face, more like a jawline with very masculine human character the rest of his face. Its lips were curled back and it seemed as if it were snarling, though I couldn't hear if it was. The breath cut on the cold glass. It was so tall at the top of the head, it was halfway out the window. As if I had to guess how wide it was, I'd probably say maybe the width of my shoulders. I knew that whatever it was mostly had wolfish instincts, so the only thing I knew to do was avoid eye contact and make yourself look as small as you could whilst having your throat on your side showing. It's a very common submissive position. Although I was scared out of my mind, and holding eye contact make him seem like make me seem like a challenger, and running would make me seem like a prey. When I did the submissive position, it must have worked for it to leave me alone, as it just hit the window, which made the tire trailer shake, and it went away. I hadn't heard or seen anything like it since then, although I do hear the odd howl come from the back roads. God, how the poor idiots decided to try whatever it was not friendly, because if it were, it would have slammed a window as hard as it had, and it would have been grown like it had taken its food. Although it practically did assault my window, I understand why it was upset. I was on its territory after all, an intruder, and possibly a threat to existence and its prey. It would just best stay out of its way and respect it. After all, it is one of God's. I was driving home from doing some shopping in a nearby town, and was all alone just driving and listening to the radio. Just before sunset on a beautiful summer day, I was admiring the sky because it was such a bright orange. While driving through some S-curves in the road, I made the first turn and saw some deer dart across the road. I hit the brakes, slowed down, not knowing more to come out of the woods. On the outside of the road, it drops down a steep embankment to a farm field. I had slowed down the car down and was getting a tree line for more deer. That's when I seen this thing jump out of the woods, running after the deer. He landed in the middle of the road, cleared the rest of the road in the next stride. It was hard to comprehend what I saw, but it sounded like the descriptions that people had claimed to on here. It was a gray figure with short, sleek coat. I did not see a tail on this creature. It was all on fours, and it was the same height as the deer. Its head was very odd. It looked like a dog head with cropped pointed ears, but it had a very short muzzle. He briefly turned his head towards me when he crossed. His eyes, I would say they glowed, but they weren't normal animal eyes. They were like dull yellow and definitely stood out. His body was really confusing. His body was what really confused me, because the way it moved was like a human when trying to run on all fours. It looked lazy, like it was kind of looping across the road. It was very muscular on the front end, but had a very thin, almost sickly looking abdominal area and hind legs. Once he was across the road, I lost sight of him over the embankment. I was so confused as to what I saw that I did not tell anyone right away for fear that it would think I was crazy. I've been searching for answers since then, but came up with nothing. I eventually told my husband and one close friend, but neither of them had heard of anything that matched my description. I still not 100% sure that I saw a dogman, but it's the only thing I come across. As of next week, thank you for listening to this episode of Monster Hunters Podcast. I'm your host, Tanner, and you can find this podcast on Spotify, Anchor, Radio Public, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you want to submit a story or contact me for schedule a guest appearance on the show, email. Thank you for listening to this episode of Monster Legend Podcast. If you want to find more information about Monster Legend Podcast, go to monsterlegendpodcast.com or anchor.fm/monsterlegendpodcast. There you can find all episodes and platforms on which the podcast is on, which you can subscribe to. You also can email me with questions that will be answered on the show. Thank you.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.